Please turn to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. The title of the message this afternoon, Snow White Salvation for Scarlet Red Sinners. Again, I hope that you will pay a special attention today to this message because, again, this is a salvation message. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're praying for sinners to be saved. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for sinners. The Lord Jesus says, if you're a sinner today, the gospel is for you. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 9:13, the Lord Jesus says, For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the degree of your sin does not hinder God in any way as far as His saving you. Our text says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In this great text of Scripture, I want us to consider four things having to do with the salvation of sinners. First of all, this verse tells us how God calls sinners to a conference. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Here is an amazing thing. Jehovah God, the one who has been offended by our sins, the one whose authority and whose law have been violated, that He should stoop to call sinners into conference with Himself, that He should stoop to reason with rebels and traitors against Himself. It is sinners who ought to be asking God for a conference. A holy God who has all power in His mighty hand could crush the sinner like a bug. And yet, here He condescends to offer to reason with sinners. Amazing indeed. And this conference to which God calls sinners is a conference having to do with salvation. A conference having to do with cleansing from sin. The Scripture here speaks of scarlet sins being made as white as snow, and crimson red sins made as wool. Look secondly in this at the kinds of sinners God calls into conference with Himself. Who are the persons to whom the invitation in our text is sent? Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God uses two terms here to give a vivid description of the sins of those whom He invites into conference with Himself. First, He uses the term scarlet. Scarlet is a color. It is a brilliant crimson red. Scarlet is a color that can easily be seen. A woman is easily seen when she wears clothing of scarlet color. She can't be missed. Scarlet catches the eye and holds it. You've seen the little cardinals in the snow in winter. Their brilliant red color catches your eye and just holds it. This scarlet color, furthermore, is a deep dyed color. It is a color that has to be dyed into the cloth deeply in order that it remain in that material permanently. The other term God uses to describe the sins of those whom He invites into conference with Himself is red like crimson. This crimson is basically the same color as scarlet, a brilliant red, which was certain to catch the eye. In Bible times, the wealthy and prominent wore this color for the purpose of calling attention to their status in this world. In Daniel 5:7, King Belshazzar said that whoever would read and interpret the handwriting on the wall for him would be rewarded with a place of prominence and status in his kingdom. Let's turn to that. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 7. Daniel 5 and verse 7. People of prominence wore this color in Bible times. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. It was a sign of prominence. These terms, scarlet and crimson red, are particularly fitting for describing the sins of those whom God calls to conference with Himself here. Scarlet and crimson colored sins are sins that are easily seen. Some sins are glaring sins. You can't help but see them. These are the gross sins, as we might call them today. In the context of our text in Isaiah 1:18, we find the sin of murder mentioned among the sins that are red like crimson. The sins of those whom God is addressing in this text are enumerated in this first chapter of Isaiah. And in verse 15, God says to them, your hands are full of blood. They were guilty of murder. Usually we consider that the grossest of all sins, murder. In verse 10 of this first chapter of Isaiah, God calls those whom He invites into conference rulers of Sodom and people of Gomorrah. The sins of these two wicked cities were so gross that their stench reached up to heaven in Abraham's day. These were sexual sins, perverted, unnatural acts that the Scripture says are abomination to God. Adultery is sometimes called the scarlet sin. And in our English language, the very word scarlet has come to have the connotation of whorish. A scarlet woman is an adulterous woman. Some people speak of their lying as the telling of little white lies. Listen, there's no such thing as a white lie in God's sight. All lies are scarlet in color, and they will surely take you to hell if they are not cleansed by God. Scarlet sins are obvious, glaring sins, sins like drunkenness and cursing and uncontrolled temper and stealing and the use of dope and slander. The terms scarlet and red like crimson also describe our sins in that scarlet and crimson colors are deep dyed into the cloth that they color. Now, in order to get wool cloth to turn this brilliant red color, it has to be deep dyed, or maybe we should say double dyed. It has to be as deeply stained with the dye as possible. We used to say down south that old Joe Blow was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. You ever heard that term, a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat? What did that mean? Dyed in the wool means dyed before weaving. It means that before the wool is woven into fabric or even into thread, it is dyed. It's dyed in the wool. You take the raw wool and put it in the dye before you make thread out of it or cloth. And thus, whatever is dyed in the wool is dyed through and through. It's dyed completely. Our sins, being called scarlet and red like crimson, speaks of the total depravity of our natures. The fact that the scarlet stain of sin is deep dyed, that its corruption reaches from the threads of our actual sins all the way down to the wool of our very natures. We're not only sinners by practice, we're sinners by nature as well. The context of this verse gives us an awful description of our totally depraved natures, which are dyed in the wool with sin. Notice in verse 6 of this first chapter, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. In other words, man's whole being is stained and infected and corrupted with sin. Oh, the scarlet dye of sin is deep, reaching all the way down to the wool of our very natures. So deeply stained are we with sin that it would be as easy for an Ethiopian to change his black skin to white, or for a leopard to remove his spots, as it would be for us to get that stain out and to do right and to be pleasing to God. Turn to Jeremiah 13, verse 23. Jeremiah 13, verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. You see, it goes all the way down to the center of our natures. These are the kinds of sinners that God calls into conference with himself. These are the kinds of sinners to whom God says, come now and let us reason together. Someone gave me a clipping from the newspaper, and the title of what was a paid ad said this, quote, "You are not a wretched sinner." That was the title. Then the ad goes on to say, "You are not a wretched sinner. You are a child of God. Discover this truth about yourself. Come worship and learn the spiritual principles of Jesus Christ at Christ Unity Church," unquote. My friend, if you find yourself included in this ad that I just read as one of those who is not a wretched sinner, then this text this afternoon does not speak to you. God does not invite you into conference with himself, because in this text, God is speaking to wretched sinners. Those with scarlet, glaring, obvious, deep-dyed sin. On the other hand, we're often tempted to think that some people are just too wicked for God to save. Have you ever thought that about somebody? He's past God's grace. But listen, God's plan of redemption that cost the precious blood of his own dear son was planned for great sinners, for deep-dyed sinners. And this text tells us that Christ is a great Savior of great sinners. Oh, listen, Christ is the Savior of sinners. I hope you're a sinner today, because sinners are those that Christ saves. Why were those wicked women of scarlet character in the Bible? Tamar, who was guilty of incest. Rahab, who was a harlot. Bathsheba, who was an adulteress. Why were these women included in the bloodline of our Lord Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? Wicked women, scarlet women. Why were they included in the Lord's bloodline? It was in order to identify him with sinners. In order to show that he is the Savior of sinners. Who were our Lord's associates and followers while he was here on the earth? Who were they? Only once do we find the Lord in the house of a Pharisee, one of the religious leaders of the day. But over and over again, we find him with publicans and sinners, with rough fishermen, with great sinners like Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. I once pastored a church that the Lord blessed with some good solid growth over a period of about 3 years. A number of people were saved and added to that church. But one day, one of the ladies in that church said to another, "Isn't it wonderful how the Lord is blessing our church?" And the lady to whom she said this replied in a very critical way, "Yes, but look what kind of people are coming into our church." You know what kind of people they were? They were sinners. They were sinners, scarlet sinners. One was a drunkard. I'll never forget old Frank Beck. He was a drunk. Lord saved him. Another was a woman who'd had an abortion. The Lord saved her. Others were down and outers. The Lord saved these people and cleansed their sins and added them to the church. And this woman was unhappy about it. Are you a scarlet sinner this afternoon? Maybe you are a young person who has lost your virtue. And your guilt is burning your insides. Maybe you know, maybe you have rebelled against your parents and broken their hearts. Maybe you, as an adult, embezzled the company funds back there someplace. You got away with it so far. Or maybe you have denied God, or you have denied the Lord Jesus Christ, or perhaps you've denied God's holy word. Maybe you've taken someone's life. You never know. Maybe you're a slave to drugs. We encountered some people this week that I think were high on drugs. Maybe you're a slave to drugs. Maybe you've been unfaithful to your wife or your husband. And you know that you are going to burn in hell for these things. Maybe you see your sins as being so vile and so filthy that you wonder how you even came to this service this afternoon. Maybe you wonder how a godly person could even sit next to you in the pew. Listen, if any or all of these things is true of you, then God is speaking to you today when he says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You, my friend, are the kind of sinner that God calls into conference with himself concerning salvation. Don't ever think that you are too wicked for God to save. Nobody is. Not harlots, not drunkards, not dope users, not sodomites, not thieves, not atheists who deny God's word, not murderers. Because though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The third thing I want us to carefully consider in this text today is God's promise to cleanse scarlet sinners. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God promises to remove the dye from scarlet sinners who come into conference with Him. He promises to wash out the crimson stain that sin has left and to make them white as snow. God promises that the scarlet sins of those who come and reason with Him shall be made white as snow. White is the color of innocence and purity and righteousness in God's Word. Turn to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8. Revelation 19 and verse 8 is speaking of the clothing of the Lamb's wife. Revelation 19:8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, earthly royalty are clothed often in scarlet. You know, you look at the kings and the queens and the popes and all of them. Usually they've got scarlet on, don't they? But not so the royalty of heaven. They are clothed in white. The promise to scarlet sinners is that they shall be made white as snow. Snow in the Scriptures speaks of being clean. And in this context, it has reference to being clean from the stain of sin. David uses the word the same way in Psalm 51:7. Let's turn to that. Psalm 51 and verse 7. David uses the term to speak of being clean from the stain of sin. Psalm 51 and verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. There is no whiter white in God's creation than the white of snow. I used to laugh about all these commercials on television about the whitest white and everything, all this detergent, you know, it'll get it whiter than anybody else. There is no whiter white than the white of the snow. I remember my mother, when I was a boy during World War II, would hang the wash out on the line. Didn't have clothes dryers in those days. And boy, she got them clean. I mean, she knew how to use that wringer, you know, to get them clean. But when she put them up there on that thing and then it snowed, they looked dingy. Because no human white can be as white as God's snow. You can hold up your cleanest wash next to the snow and it's going to look dingy. Now, scarlet and crimson dyes just don't come out of the fabric in which they've been placed. You can't get them out. Neither weather, nor washing, nor bleaching can satisfactorily remove dye from the cloth. You will probably ruin the material before you can get the stain of dye out of it. But listen, my friend, God can get out the deep stain of sin without harming the cloth. He can get it out. Even though the stain may have been there 10, 20, 50, 60, 70 years, God can get it out. He can take it out and make the sinner perfectly clean. Even though you may have laid soaking in sin like a piece of cloth soaking in scarlet dye, yet God's pardoning mercy can completely take out the stain. This promise to wash white as snow is God's promise of cleansing. God promises to take the stain out and to make the wool long dyed with crimson to be as white as when it originally grew on the sheep. Pardon and cleansing of sin is the main object of the gospel. God's word tells us about some scarlet sinners whom the Lord Jesus saved.
and made white as snow. I'm sure glad these are in there. Means I can be saved too. The scriptures tell us in John 4 about the woman at the well of Sychar, who was so wicked, she had been married 5 times. And at the present time, she was living with a man that she was not even married to. But the Lord Jesus Christ cleansed that scarlet woman, forgave her sins, and made her white as snow. God's Word tells us in the 8th chapter of John about a woman who was taken in the very act of adultery and literally dragged into the Lord's presence and accused. But the Lord washed her scarlet sins in His precious blood and cleansed out the deep dye of her sins and made her as white as snow. One of the best passages in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Because it tells us about some scarlet sinners at Corinth whom the Lord saved. Let's turn to that and read it. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Here's the good part. And such were some of you, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Listen, that's a pretty sorry list of sinners. But Christ saved them all. How can God remove the scarlet, crimson, red stains of our sins? He does so on the basis of the great atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. When He bore the sins of His people and felt the wrath of God for our sins, and He did this in order that God might remain just when He justifies those who trust in Christ's atoning work. It's significant here that the robe that the soldiers in mockery put on the Lord Jesus when they crucified Him was a scarlet robe. Isn't that interesting? I believe that's significant. Matthew 27:28 tells us about it when it says, "And they stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe." Surely, part of the meaning of that scarlet robe was to signify that He took our scarlet sins upon Himself and suffered for those sins so that we might have robes clean and white in which to stand before God. Nothing can wash away the deep scarlet and crimson red stain of our sins but the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7 says that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Believing in Christ for salvation is sometimes described in the Scriptures as washing in the blood of Christ. Such is the case in Revelation 7:14 that we looked at a few weeks ago in our afternoon messages. This describes that great uncountable multitude that's going to be saved during the coming tribulation. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. When a man believes in Christ, he is at that moment in the sight of God as if he had never sinned. He is at that moment made white as snow. Listen, unsaved person here today, even if you have broken every one of the Ten Commandments willfully and openly and brazenly. Yet the moment you believe in Christ, you are saved, and your sins, though they be as scarlet, shall be as white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The final thing I want us to look at in this text today is God's appointed time for such a conference. The time for scarlet sinners to come to Christ and be saved. The time for sinners to believe in Christ. The time for sinners to trust in Christ and His atoning death for salvation. The time for you as a sinner to wash your garments in the blood of the Lamb is now. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now. Now is God's time. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:2. Listen, some people have been putting this off for years and years and years. Listen, time is running out. Time is running out. And God's Word says, now. Come now. You may not have tomorrow. Well, I was thinking this week, I'm 75 years old. Who knows if I'll be alive at this time next year? Come now. By tomorrow, death may have come to you, and you that were filthy will then remain filthy forever. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let us pray. Now, Father, we're thankful for the blood of Christ, our Savior, that was shed for our sins, so that we might not have to suffer eternity in hell for our sins. Father, we realize that our sins are scarlet, deep dyed, red like crimson in your sight, and many times in our sight. And we pray today that you would grant great conviction of sin in our hearts, enough to show us Christ as the needed Savior. We pray that your Holy Spirit would enable every lost sinner here today to turn from sin and trust in Christ now, before it's everlastingly too late. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' holy name and for His sake. Amen. This is Pastor Lawrence Justice. If you are looking for a church that believes in and stands for God's Word in this day of wickedness, worldliness, and apostasy, I strongly urge you to attend the services of our church. Victory Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri, stands for the gospel of Jesus Christ, with emphasis on the doctrines of God's grace, the New Testament church, and biblical missions with reverent worship and Christ-centered preaching. Such churches are not easy to find in these days of religious entertainment and endless activities. If you are concerned about traditional biblical worship and serious doctrinal and expository preaching, I want to invite you to consider moving to the Kansas City, Missouri area and joining us. When you are traveling on business or vacation, why not plan to be present in our services on Sundays and Wednesday evenings? Or why not make a special trip just to visit us? It's easy to contact us for information about our church. Call us on the phone at 816-761-7184. Email us at lajustice99@yahoo.com. Visit our church website at www.victorybaptist.us, or just drop in on Sundays and Wednesdays at 9601 Blue Ridge Boulevard in Kansas City, Missouri, 64134.